to pay the price for my sin, for your sin, for our sin. That he bore, he carried our sins in his body on the cross. That when he was punished not for his own sins, but for our sins. That's a staggering truth. That's an astonishing thing to do. To love someone so much that you're prepared to die for them, to take responsibility for them, to take the blame for them. That's a fundamental meaning of the cross. What is the cross about? If you're confused about what the cross is about, it's this. It is that Jesus Christ was dying to take away our sins. That he was dying in our place to take away, to remove the guilt of our sins. By paying the punishment for us, he takes the punishment away from us. God laid on him the sin of us all on the cross. And that was why the cross was such a dreadful ordeal for Jesus Christ. As we saw last week, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was because he was crushed beneath the weight of human sin. You may know that. You may also know that the resurrection is a great promise for us. That one day we will be raised, if we're Christians, if we're believers, we will be raised too. You may know that the resurrection is a promise, a guarantee, really, that we will be raised in the future when Christ returns. But I wonder if you know what Romans 6 is teaching us here. I wonder if you realize that there is a power that comes from the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ that impacts our lives today, that changes the way we live today, that empowers us today. There's a direct connection between the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ and the power that we have to live the Christian life today, to live the new life, chapter 6, verse 4. There's a direct connection. It's not just history. It's not only that Christ died for our sins. It's not only that Christ died for us. It's that we have died with him. We have died with Christ. We have died with Christ. We have been raised with Christ here and now, today, not only in the future in resurrection bodies, but now we experience, we can know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I had a holiday years ago, I think probably 25 years ago, with a friend. We were up in northwest part of Scotland. Beautiful part of the world, but basically the thing that ruins it is that you get eaten alive by midges. Absolutely. I mean, if you climb high enough up a mountain, you escape, but otherwise it's a bit of a nightmare. Anyway, it's a beautiful part of the world. We were just away for a weekend, and we went on a Sunday to a very tiny church up there, Church of Scotland. And I think there were probably about 8 people in the service, his family, plus myself and my friend. And he was preaching on Romans 6, this very passage. And I remember him preaching as if he was preaching to 10,000 people, with such energy, with such excitement. I remember how he was bouncing on his feet like this. And he was really giving it everything he had because he was excited by the truth that Christ's death and resurrection gives us power to live a new life today. And Paul wants us to see that. He wants us to understand that here in Romans 6. He wants us to understand what's happened. You might not realize that when you became a Christian, if you're a Christian believer, you might not fully realize what happened to you then. just how radical that was, the change in your life. You might think that perhaps you just made a decision, or perhaps you changed your religion. But actually what happened is much deeper than that. What happened was that God did such a miracle in your life that you were connected to Jesus Christ, that you were united to Him. That's the language we get in Romans 6, that of being united to Christ, connected to Him. I'm going to have the page open in front of me so that I can refer to things as we go along. Verse 5, this was actually my baptism verse. I was baptized about 29 years ago. And this was the verse that was given to me by the guy who baptized me. Verse 5, if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like Him. What happens to a Christian when you become a believer, a Christian believer? What happens is that you become united to Jesus Christ. You become connected to Him in a spiritual, or perhaps some have said a mystical way. There's a mystical or a spiritual union between you and Jesus Christ. So that what then happens is that the power of His crucifixion and the power of His resurrection flows over into your life. Flows over into your life. And this is why He says these extraordinary things like this. You died. You died with Christ. And you were raised with Christ. You died with Christ. And you were raised with Christ. He wants us to know this. He wants us to understand what's happened to us as believers. It's not just that we've changed our religion, we've made a choice for Jesus Christ. Something very deep and real has happened to us. And we've become united to Jesus Christ, to His death and His resurrection. He wants us to understand. He wants us to know that this is a fact, a fact. It's not so much a feeling, it's a fact. It's something that has actually happened to you. You died with Christ. You died to sin. You came alive with Christ. You came alive to God in a new way. You woke up to God. You say, I don't feel that way particularly. I know what you're saying. But here's the fact. It happened. You died to sin. And you came alive to God and to righteousness, or to rightness. We have to reckon with that. We have to understand that. That's what's happened to you if you're a believer in Jesus. It's not only that Christ died for you, but you died with Christ. It's not only that Christ was raised for you, but you were raised with Christ to a new life of righteousness. A new life. A new life of freedom. And you see, so he goes on to say in verse 11, what you have to do with this information, with these facts, is first of all understand them, grasp them, but also to count on them, to reckon with them. The old word, I think, is reckon. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. You need to count on this, to reckon with it, to live in the light of it. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, this is how to live the life. This is how to live life in Christ. To live the new life, you count yourselves dead to sin, and you count yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is how you do it. And you do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now, I'm speaking to a group of people here. Actually, it doesn't matter which group of people. I'm speaking to myself as well. And we are all, to some degree, we are all slaves of sin. We are slaves to all kinds of things. Perhaps we have different addictions, different obsessions, different slaveries. Some folk here may be addicted to pornography. That's a very common addiction. It's a very common slavery in our society. Perhaps you feel ashamed of that. Perhaps you wish you could do something about it. And again, you feel defeated by it. Perhaps your problem is that you have a wild temper that you cannot control. Perhaps there are some times when you just explode and you feel you cannot control your temper. Perhaps you're in the grip of some bitterness. Perhaps something happened to you in the past that weighs on your mind and you hold it as a grudge. You bear a grudge. You feel this bitterness in your heart and you struggle with it. Perhaps you are gripped by envy. You know, that you see other people, perhaps people you've grown up with, and they seem to have done so much better than you have. They've got bigger houses, they've got better cars, they've got more money, they're doing better for themselves, they've got better jobs, and you feel gripped by envy. And sometimes you feel it's very hard to overcome that. You need to go to Romans 6. You need to go here. You need to count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And what this means practically is to use the words that worked so well for Barack Obama five years ago, I suppose, the first time he ran for president. Yes, you can. In a way, Romans 6 is saying to us, yes, you can. You can resist those temptations in Christ. You can overcome those sins in Christ. You can overcome that addiction to pornography in Christ. You can overcome the slavery you feel to bitterness, to anger. You can do it in Christ because when you are a believer in Christ, you are united to the death and resurrection of Christ. And the death, the power of the death flows over into your life to kill, to crucify your sin. And the power of the resurrection flows over to give you power to live a new life. Yes, you can. You can do it. And so he says, look, offer, I think he uses the word six times in Romans 6, offer yourselves now to God, reckoning yourselves dead to sin, reckoning yourselves alive to God and alive to a new life of righteousness. Offer yourselves, your body, your eyes, what you look at on the internet, your hands, your feet, offer the parts, I think it says here, every part of yourself. In a previous translation it said, offer the parts of your body to God in what you do. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. This is the power of the cross and resurrection in our lives today. It's not just something that happened a long time ago. Nor is it even just that Christ died for us. But we, if we are in Him, have died with Him. And we have been raised with Him. And we need to reckon with this. We need to count on this. We need to live in the light of this. If we're going to beat sin, if we're going to overcome temptation, we need to reckon with Romans 6. We need to preach it to ourselves again and again and again. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Yes, you can overcome those sins. Yes, you can overcome those temptations. Now this, as so often with Bible truth, this is a double-edged, so I call it a double-edged sword, or this has a sort of a double application. First of all, here's what it says. If you're feeling complacent, it says to you, you have no excuses for your sin. You have no excuses for your sin. Sometimes we make excuses for ourselves. We try to justify. We say, well, it's just the way I'm made. It's just the way I am. I explode into anger because that's just me. Or we might say, very often we'll say, he made me do it. She made me do it. You know, it's not just children who say that. We make excuses for our sin. We try to cover up. We justify ourselves. Romans 6 says, actually, you didn't have to do it. Count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. But the Bible also speaks to those who are really struggling, really trying hard, but struggling. And to you it gives encouragement. To you it gives strength. Because it says to you who are struggling with anger, with lust, with pornography, with bitterness in your heart, with envy perhaps, and all of those other sins that we struggle with, it says, look, here's something to help you. Take this to heart. Grasp this truth that in Christ you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You can do it in His strength. You can do it. Yes, you can. Offer yourselves to God, not to sin. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. Christ breaks the power of sin. He not only takes away the punishment, He breaks the power of sin. If you are united to Him by faith, if you are joined to Christ, if you are connected to Him, you have the power to do it. The guy in the Old Testament called Gideon. Gideon was asked to do something, to lead a band of fighting men, actually. He was not that kind of guy. He was very anxious. He was scared. He was scared of what he was asked to do. God came to him and He said this: go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have. Sometimes I think we wait, we pray to God, we're anxious about some event, some encounter, some meeting, some interview, some responsibility that we have to do, and we cry to God, help me, and we wait for something, some warm, fuzzy feeling to enter us, to fill us, and it doesn't happen. Sometimes we think we've got to wait to feel strong, but God says to Gideon, you don't have to do that. Go in the strength you already have. As a believer, you already have strength in Christ. You already have the Holy Spirit within you. By all means, cry to Him for strength, for grace. Absolutely. But you don't have to wait for the warm, fuzzy feeling. Perhaps that sometimes happens. But there are times when we cry to Him, aren't there? We cry to Him, and we don't feel much different. But maybe when we step into the situation, when we step into the thing that we've been so anxious about, we discover that God is there with us. And we're able to do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can bear that burden. Yes, you can in Christ. You can resist that temptation. Yes, in Christ, you can climb that mountain. You can do it. In Christ, because you are united to Him, to His crucified and risen power, killing sin and enabling you, empowering you to live a new life. Yes, you can do it in Christ. You can do almost anything, shall I say, in Christ. Yes, you can. But I'm conscious that there may be some folk here who are not Christians, who are not in Christ, who are not believers in Christ, who are not united with Christ and with His death and resurrection. In the Bible's terms, that makes you a slave to sin. It makes you even, in Jesus' terms, now I don't want to offend anybody by saying this, and there's a way of understanding this, but it makes you even a slave to Satan. Now that doesn't mean that you're demonized, it doesn't mean that you are demonically possessed, but it means that the subtle influence of Satan is sort of driving your life, and you are captive to that. But there is a way to be free. There's a way to be freed from sin. There's a way to be freed to live for God. There's a way to be freed for a life that leads, if we fast forward to verse 22, to holiness and eternal life. And that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are not a believer, if you have come here as someone who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, let us recommend Him to you now. Let us say to you, come to Him. Stuart's already pointed out, you don't have to do anything heroic. You don't have to go on any pilgrimages. You don't have to do any special good works or good deeds. You don't even have to do anything special religiously to trust in Christ. All you need to do is come to Jesus Christ in faith, in trust, and say to Him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's all you need to do to come to Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of salvation. And Christ will set you free. He will begin that process that liberates you from all of those obsessions. You see, the only addiction, the only obsession that sets you free is an obsession with Jesus Christ, is an addiction to Jesus Christ. It's the only obsession that sets you free. Every other obsession, be it with shopping, be it with sex, be it with alcohol, be it whatever it is that controls you, masters you, it might give you a few moments of pleasure, but it won't give you long-term satisfaction. It won't give you long-term satisfaction. And we discover that over and over and over again, don't we? That these things that we go to for kind of an instant hit of pleasure, whether it's pornography or food or drink or whatever, they give us a short experience, a short burst of pleasure, but it is quickly replaced by a feeling of helplessness, shame, regret. The only addiction that will set you free is an addiction to Jesus Christ. Every other addiction will enslave you. This is freedom. Understand what's happened to you in Christ. Understand that you are united to Him, to His death and resurrection. Count on it. Live in the light of it. Reckon upon it. Live your life on that basis. You are dead to sin. You are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's a fact. It's a fact. And then offer yourselves, all your parts, every part of you, offer yourself to God in service to Him. Knowing that His service, as the prayer book says, I think His service, serving Him, is perfect freedom. It's the only addiction that will set you free. Let's pray. Father, help us, we pray. Help us to understand these things. Help us to grasp these things. Help us to hold these things in our hearts. Help us to live on the basis of these things, to count them to be true, to reckon that they are true. Help us, Lord, to be those who live in real freedom, who offer every part of ourselves, of our lives, to you, to righteousness, not to sin. Thank you, Lord. It is true that yes, we can. In Christ, we can resist. We can be strong. We can bear the burdens of life, the troubles that we all face. Help us, Lord, so to take this teaching to heart that our lives might be challenged, comforted, encouraged, and really changed with your resurrection power, so that we might live that new life of love, of holiness, and of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to Jesus, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory over death you won. Let's stand to sing. Stay standing.